Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
Luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. You're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is number 209, and I'm recording this on April 28th, 2010. Well, today I wanted to do a quick review of a book that I recently finished. I've been working the last several weeks on a book called The Monuments Men by Robert M. Edsel. And this was a Christmas present. Got it out in Wyoming while we were visiting family, my wife's family out in Wyoming for Christmas. And don't really know what initially attracted me to the book. There's a very interesting picture on the cover that has pictures of United States troops, and they're holding different pieces of art and stuff. But the title is The Monuments Men, Allied Heroes, Nazi Thieves, and the Greatest Treasure Hunt in History. So I picked it up for Christmas, and I wasn't able to really get started on it until a couple weeks ago, and just recently finished it a couple days ago. And I'll start off by saying I'm not somebody that has a very specific knowledge base or interest in the two main topics of the book, which are really famous works of art and World War II. But I found the book to be extremely enjoyable and really got into it from the beginning of the book all the way through to the end. It's one of those books that I found myself reading when I had some spare moments here and there. And I'm not really a World War II expert by any means. I don't teach World War II currently with the curriculum that I teach. I used to teach World War II when I taught high school history classes, but I haven't specifically taught World War II for, I don't know, probably at least 10 or 11 years. So it's something that I typically don't read a lot about. I tend to read a lot more when I have time about the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. And I think that recently why I've done that is because it's part of my curriculum, and I just kind of like beefing up on some of those topics that I know I'm going to be talking to kids about. But this was a really amazing book for me because I did not know about a lot of the aspects of what Hitler and the Nazis had done with the different pieces of artwork throughout Europe as they kind of began to dominate the continent and went into all these different countries. And I knew a little bit. You know, I knew that Hitler was somebody that enjoyed art. I knew that there was some confiscation of artworks and stuff. But this book is a really nice blend of describing World War II, especially as the Allies move across the continent and are closing in on the Germans and the end of World War II. But it also talks about these works of art and how they tracked them down. And this amazing group of men in the United States Army that was given the responsibility with literally almost no resources. I mean, we're talking like not even vehicles and things like that, cameras. And they had to track down these works of art. And the way that they created different networks and found out information and then were able to find these works of art was just incredible. And I won't go into a lot of detail because I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but, you know, they find these in castles and, you know, mines and salt mines and all kinds of things like that. And there's all kinds of different issues about whether or not the Nazis tried to, you know, to blow these up and destroy them and things before the Allies got to them. So some really amazing individual stories, along with the bigger picture of, okay, how do we find these things before they're destroyed, before they're lost, before they're damaged? Just a really interesting book. And I thought that Edsel did a nice job of blending the subjects of art history or art appreciation along with the bigger scope of what was happening in World War II. I learned a lot about World War II by reading this book because of the way that it's kind of woven into the story of the individuals and then what they were trying to find. And I felt an appreciation for these works of art as I found out more about them as they were being described and as it was kind of being set up. And, you know, you kind of have to understand why these things were so important to really understand why this story was such an important one. And he does talk about in the book that, you know, as World War II is ending, all of these things are happening. You know, you have the atomic bomb, you have the end of World War II, you've got, you know, the death of FDR, you got all these things happening. And so, as amazing as the story is, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle with some of the, you know, most important events of the 20th century. So, just a really interesting book. If I was teaching United States history in a high school class, I would definitely look at maybe how I could approach teaching this as a lesson, and it would have amazing impact as an interdisciplinary lesson with an art class. I have several different websites on the blog, and as always, you can find the blog at www.speakingofhistory.com, and I've got links to the blog that Etzel maintains. There's also a link to the Monuments Men Foundation, but there's also a link to a site called The Greatest Theft, and that is a kind of an accompanying site that has lesson plans on how you could teach the different aspects of art appreciation in regard to what happened with World War II. And the site's amazing. There's tons of lesson plans. They have a DVD, a DVD set, actually. I think it's three DVDs, that if you as a teacher donate $35 to the foundation, you have access for a year to all of the lesson plans. And I just kind of spent a little bit of time on the site. It looks like some of the lesson plans are available to anybody, but then some of them are available only to the ones that have the login. So if you donate $35 to the organization, you have access to all the lesson plans for a year, but then they also send you the three DVD set that has just hours and hours of content, interviews, and, you know, different things that you can use with the lessons, talking about different aspects of art in World War II and basically a lot of the same topics that were in the Monuments Men. So if you are a teacher that maybe teaches a high school course in World War II, I would definitely check that out. You know, even some of the ones that are not, I guess what you'd call like the premium lesson plans, the ones that are made available for free would be amazing. And they do have quite a few videos embedded within the webpage that you could view without getting the entire set. But again, $35 to have access to all that, and then you would have the DVDs as well. Seemed like a pretty good deal to me if it was something that I specifically taught. So overall, very impressed with the Monuments Men. Highly recommend it to anybody that's interested in World War II and anybody that teaches World War II, especially at the high school level. I think it'd give you a lot of information that you could bring into the classroom and share with your students. And I think it does have a little bit of a different hook that you could kind of get some students that, you know, maybe might not be interested in the weapons of World War II and, you know, the strategy of the military leaders and stuff. When students kind of understand the importance of art in relation to World War II, you know, it's something a little bit different that might get some more students interested. So that's my review of the Monuments Men. I'm currently starting a project where I'm going to try and read all of David McCullough's books. Starting with the Johnstown Flood. And I have read some of these in the past, but I thought it'd be nice to kind of reread them. So starting this spring, and I'm going to work my way through the entire David McCullough collection as we go through the summer. Just kind of looking forward to rereading some of these and reading some of the ones that I've been interested in but haven't necessarily read before. I've heard quite a bit about the Great Bridge. Haven't read that one before. Path Between the Seas, haven't read that. You know, listened to on CD John Adams and Truman. Read 1776 and then also listened to the audiobook. But there's a couple other ones in there. Brave Companions I have not read. And then, you know, just reread Truman and stuff like that. So kind of looking forward to settling in on kind of a streak here and reading quite a bit of David McCullough over the next couple of months. So. Well, as always, if you have any comments, I'd especially be interested if anybody has read The Monuments Men. You can leave a comment on the blog, or you can email me directly at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. I also have the link if you'd like to purchase The Monuments Men. I have an Amazon link on the blog, so you can go right to the Amazon site if that's how you'd like to purchase it. And then one other link on the website is you can follow the author, Robert Edsel, on Twitter. And I thought it was kind of interesting. I don't know, I was probably like 2 or 3 days into reading the book, and on Twitter I just commented that I was currently reading The Monuments Men, and within several hours, Robert Edsel was then following me on Twitter, and then of course I started to follow him as well. So it's always kind of interesting when you tweet something. I found that authors are very tied into using social media and using Twitter. Whenever I comment that I've read a book or I'm reading a book by somebody, typically very quickly after that, I find out that I'm being followed by that author. Happened with Sir Ken Robinson. When I read The Element, I tweeted that I was reading The Element, and suddenly he was following me on Twitter. So kind of interesting how that's used, especially with authors and social media. So, all right, well, that's all I have for tonight. Winding down the spring, we just have about a month or so, a little over a month, I guess, probably about 5 weeks left of school. So if you are a teacher, hope you're winding down and having a good end of the year. And if you have any questions or comments, let me know. Would love to hear from you. And that's it for tonight. So remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.